you as a customer must be able to charge discrimination free.
If there's less diesel trucks or diesel cars, you can breathe cleaner air and it works all together and it's fun.
Hello and welcome back to the Electromobility Podcast. In the future, will recharging our electric cars be as easy as refueling at the gas station? Well, the goal is to make recharging stations convenient and user-friendly. That's why it's important to understand some key concepts. How do people charge their cars now? What are the steps of a charging session? Who provides charging station? What are the different options available at home, in the city, or on long-distance trips? What does the future of electric charging look like, and how can we make it easier? Today, we'll try to answer all these questions. Join us through this journey. This podcast is produced by EuroCities with User Chi, an EU-funded project that supports the development of electromobility in Europe. It does so by designing and testing user-friendly charging solutions in 7 European cities.
Today's episode was written and produced by Marion Pignel
and Katarzyna Kirova.
It's voiced by Daniela Berretta. Let's say you're considering buying an electric car, but you're worried about recharging it. Well, that action is a bit different from refueling at the gas station. And to explain this, we need to keep in mind a few words. The first is CPO, an acronym that stands for Charging Point Operator Companies. For this episode, we interviewed two CPO representatives, Steve Kaltoff from Qualo, a German charging point operator, and Aaron Fishbone from Greenway, a charging point operator active in Central and Eastern Europe.
A charge point operator foremost provides the hardware and infrastructure which is necessary for electric vehicles to charge their batteries. So we are producing charging poles and the according internal hardware and software and embedded software which is necessary, or embedded hardware which is necessary, to provide this infrastructure on the street for customers to recharge their car conveniently. So we are technically and legally responsible for these charge points and report against the authorities, for example. We started back in 2017. We developed own products, which foremost, the visible part, of course, is our charging pole. But we also developed our own backend to control our poles independently. We also developed an app. At the moment, we have two native apps, native iOS and native Android in the market, where we can offer EMP functionalities also. And we offered a financing or investment solution for cities, which simply means that we offer municipalities and cities across Europe to build up their infrastructure more or less free of cost. So we take over the entire investment.
My name is Aaron Fishbone. I'm the policy director for Greenway. And Greenway is a charge point operator and mobility service provider operating in Central and Eastern Europe, operating in Slovakia and Poland right now. And Greenway is a charge point operator. So we have our own network of publicly accessible charging stations, mostly fast charging stations over 50 kilowatts. And we're technology agnostic in that sense. We have a number of different suppliers who provide those charging stations. Also, we have charging stations with solar PV connected, and we have charging stations with auxiliary battery storage connected. We also offer charging infrastructure to third parties like hotels, restaurants, shopping malls, and whatnot, who want to offer it either for their employees or for their guests and clients and the general public. So we have a various number of different products that we can offer to third parties. And then finally, we are a mobility service provider. So we have over 30,000 people in Slovakia and Poland who have Greenway as their MSP and use our RFID card or their R-Mobile application to recharge out of network. They receive our invoice from us and they charge out of network via our roaming relationship partnerships that we have with other companies.
So what does charging mean exactly? Charging takes place when a vehicle is connected to a power source called a charging station. Rather than inserting a nozzle, like at a gas station, you insert a connector at a charging station. Small disclaimer here. You don't have to hold the connector in your hand the whole time. You can do other things while your car is charging, like grabbing a cup of coffee or working out at the gym. Isn't that good news? How long does it take to charge an e-vehicle? Well, first, do you know these two other acronyms, AC and DC? AC stands for alternating current, and is the standard electricity that comes out of power outlets. DC stands for direct current and comes, for example, from batteries and solar cells. AC charging stations are the most basic types and can provide up to 22 kilowatts. They're usually installed in homes and can be found in residential areas, public parking, business and commercial locations. At AC charging stations, an hour's charging will provide approximately 120 kilometers to your battery's range. On the other side, we have DC charging stations that are faster because they can deliver more power, up to 350 kilowatts. So they're ideal when driving on highways or to repower public transport and company cars. DC chargers can repower a vehicle in minutes, while AC charging stations take longer. So depending on your equipment, the charging time can vary from 40 hours to 7 minutes. In Europe, at the end of 2022, there were more than 400,000 publicly accessible charging points. 48,000 of them are DC chargers, and that number continues to grow. What do professionals have to say about the difference between slow and fast charging and the different advantages that they bring?
So we as Qvelo, we focus entirely on the AC market. So we provide AC charging stations, so normal charging stations, and we do this for a certain purpose. When we developed our product, we also considered, of course, the cities and municipalities and the existing electric grid. And it's important to understand that fast chargers or hyperchargers need a lot of electricity and very, from our perspective, difficult for the cities to provide these enormous amounts of electricity everywhere in the city. Whereas AC charging, what we focus on, is quite easy to implement and will not endanger the existing electric grid, and therefore makes it much more easier for the cities and their utility providers to provide this infrastructure on large areas like cities. So that was our driving idea behind focusing on AC charging. Again, there's other technology, DC charging, which usually starts at 50 kilowatts, kilowatt hours, for example. But again, this needs a lot of electricity and is quite complicated to be integrated into an existing city. The most powerful battery in cars at the moment should be something like around 100 kilowatt hours. If you, for example, use one of our charge poles, which provides you regularly with 11 kilowatts per hour, the recharging of this 100 kilowatt hour battery would take 10 hours. Our poles also have the possibility to use the car own cable. So it's important to understand that our poles have an integrated attached cable, which is rolled up in our pole. So you can use this for convenience. So you don't need to carry your own charging cable with you in your car, or get it from the trunk, or pull it through snow and water. So it's very convenient to use our own integrated cable. But again, this provides 11 kilowatt hours. You can, of course, also use your own cable from your car, which usually provides 22 kilowatt hours. So if you use the car's cable, for example, charging a 100 kilowatt hours battery would take 5 hours. So that's what AC charging usually considers. As I mentioned before, DC charging has higher electricity flow, of course. So it starts, DC charging usually starts with 50 kilowatt hours. So in this case, it would roughly take 2 hours to recharge this size battery.
But wait a minute. Charging poles and stations don't naturally grow in the streets, right? Whenever a charging station is built, companies, local authorities, and charging point operators work together to make this happen. How do you install a charging point, and what are the obstacles?
In Germany, at least, quite complicated to follow the procedures with the cities in terms of applications for charge points. It's a very painful procedure, and it includes a lot of departments of cities. Germany is a very fragmented country in terms of cities and their regulations. So nearly every city has different regulations. So there's for sure some differences. But in general, or generally speaking, you have to talk to at least 6, 7, 8 departments of the cities independently and get their signature and approval for certain applications. And then the story goes on. Then you have to talk to the utility provider, where you also need to have a couple of approvals in place. So from applying for a charge point or location for a charge point until it's built up and running can take up to 6 months. It's just dealing with the procedures and the applications. It's not really difficult to build. I mean, of course, it has some challenges to build up the poles, but we are quite experienced in terms of this. But the majority of the time is really finding out about the regulations and procedures of the cities. This is really a challenge and a huge part of our work, honestly.
I think the biggest issue is the issue of, let's say, grid connections and capacity. It takes, and it can and has taken, up to 3 years to go from requesting a grid connection point to receiving that grid connection. And that is a huge, huge bottleneck in the overall, let's say, ability to scale up and scale up rapidly and deploy a lot more charge. Now, I understand that the network operators, you know, I mean, things are changing fast for them. They have a lot of pressures. You know, they need to integrate renewables on the grid. They, you know, need to deal with an increasing complexity. They need to digitize their systems and smarten them, all of which is true. But, you know, now we're going from in a world of early e-mobility to a world of, let's say, more mainstream e-mobility, and those numbers of requests are only going to grow. And so in order to support this massively growing fleet of electric vehicles and their various charging needs, the charge point industry is going to be requesting a lot more charging points. So if it's going to continue to take, you know, somewhere between half a year and 3 years to get one, that's going to really be a bottleneck. So figuring out that how to improve and simplify and speed up those processes, and of course do it in a way that is, you know, supportive of the grid, I think are two of the biggest issues we need to address, you know, somewhat broadly, but especially in Central and Eastern Europe.
Maybe you're wondering where all this electricity is coming from. Well, it depends on the country, the local legislation, and the CPO policies on energy sources.
From our charging stations that are directly connected to the network operator, we have their fully renewable electricity. But it's not directly renewable, it's that we buy it through, you know, PPA, and we incorporate that onto the grid. For chargers that are behind the meter at others' locations, then that's really up to the contract that they have with, you know, with the energy provider themselves. This is certainly something, is a very important topic. I mean, especially in a country like Poland, which a large amount of the grid is powered by coal, you know, it's something we realize needs to be worked on. And so as more and more wind power, let's say from the North Sea, gets brought online in Poland, we would want to use that more and more. But, and, you know, the nice thing about electric vehicles is that they can get cleaner over time, right? As the grid becomes cleaner, the EV can become cleaner. Also, the EV can charge in a country where it has a cleaner grid and then, you know, travel around.
Very important, because that's why we're doing this for. So the interesting thing is that in Germany, there's a regulation in place that charge poles for electric vehicles must use green energy, so sustainable energy. So of course we adhere to this restriction, because again, that's why we're doing this for. And of course we purchase only green sustainable energy and provide this sort of energy at the charge pole. So our customers can be extremely safe that they will be charging as green energy.
A very important factor to keep in mind is grid capacity. Does the local network have enough grid capacity, or do we risk causing a power outage when recharging our vehicle?
The number of EVs is growing exponential, and the electricity must come from some producers, and it's not really considered at the moment. If all the EVs which are probably announced to be in the market in the next year, if they all would connect to the grid, it would break down. That's absolutely true. So there's initiatives necessary from the government and also from the utility providers to really take care that the according amount of electricity is provided. And yeah, as we just learned, the according and responsible people just started thinking about this. So that's very good news.
It's interesting to know what users are looking for when charging their cars. The research conducted within the UserChi project pointed to the main expectations that drivers have for charging points. They want fast chargers with a user-friendly interface. Drivers ask that chargers from different operators can all function in a similar way. This to avoid wasting time to get familiar with different manuals every time they power their vehicles. In addition, users said that they prefer contactless payments, and they also want to be able to check the charging point status, so whether a charging station is free, in use, or already booked.
The first is price. The second thing is reliability. They want to be able to know that when they get to a station, it will work. It will be available for them, and they can charge. And so this is something that we take very, very seriously as well. You know, making sure that the uptime of charging stations is extremely high. I think for us, it's over 98%. That's a very important metric as well. And the other thing is amenities and services at charging locations. So while they're charging, especially imagine you have your family, you have your dog, what are you doing while charging your vehicle? Is there some, you know, can you go for a walk? Is there a sports facility? Is there some shopping around, a place to get a coffee, a snack, sandwich, somewhere nice to sit? Is there payment methods is something that they talk a lot about. Most people really like the mobile application. Some people want to be able to pay with, let's say, you know, just a simple payment card and move on.
What kind of payment solutions exist at charging stations today?
Our polls try to be very, very extremely user-friendly. Again, it's important to understand there's also a regulation in place in Germany, which means that you as a customer must be able to charge discrimination-free at a pole, which means you don't have to register as a customer, for example, or have a card, an RFID card of this special provider of this charge pole of the CPO. And the usual resolutions are quite inconvenient one because a lot of charge poles and stations in Germany have a QR code on it where you can scan with your mobile phone. And then you have to enter credit card details and your personal details and confirm. And then one time for this only one charging session, you can use something like your credit card, for example, instead of using the operator's membership card, for example. We at Quello decided this is much too inconvenient. So of course, we accept other roaming cards. And so of course, you can use your charging card from your operator or from your EMSP, e-mobility service provider, at our poles. Yes, just holding it in front of the card reader on the display, and it will be accepted. But nevertheless, of course, we accept credit card and debit card and, for example, Apple Pay, Google Pay directly at our poll. So you don't need to scan a QR code or enter some numbers or whatever. Just present your card in front of our reader and there it goes and you're authenticated and you can charge at our poll. So it's very, very convenient. And additionally, you also have, of course, also with us the opportunity to download our app and register in our app as one of our customers. And then you can start and authenticate our pole via the app.
What does the future of charging points look like? Thanks to innovative solutions, the charging process is becoming more user-friendly. A key breakthrough, for example, is wireless charging. What if you could charge an electric car with no cables and no wires, and even do so while you're driving? For the techies out there, this is the same concept as using a wireless phone charger. In Sweden, a pilot project turned 1.6 kilometers of road into a wireless energy charging dock capable of powering a bus. Wireless charging for electric cars is already here and has many benefits. To know more about it, we interviewed Sergio Perez from IPT Technology.
So the wireless charging concept is a fantastic concept. Every mechanic equipment, everything we do with human beings, and more than ever in the e-mobility, should be sustainable, inclusive, and should do the work for us in our place, including, for example, refueling energy for itself. The idea to stop bringing the vehicle to the energy, like we are doing with the petrol station, and bring the energy to the vehicle there where it's been in use. The wireless charging is a technology that enables electric vehicles to charge without the need of a physical cable connection. So this means that the electrical vehicle can be charged quickly, conveniently, and safely while they are parked or in motion. With this, many of the advantages are as follows. For example, it's an user-friendly system and inclusive, as I say, because not needing the cable to be positioned, you can use park, which anybody is able to do, also people with restricted mobility. So it's really user-friendly and inclusive. It has a high energy efficiency, so you can count on 90-92% of efficiency with these systems. And it's a technology that we'll be bringing in the next years, and it's by itself, in the physical terms, not impossible to think about the 450 kilowatt or even a megawatt can be done. So in all terms, it's also a technology very environmentally friendly. If you think about why it is sustainable, because if the energy is coming to the vehicles, you don't have that big batteries anymore. I mean, one of the biggest questions we have today for the electromobility, which is kind of a stopper for many people, is thinking that the batteries is quite a difficulty to solve. And in such a concept where you know that when you're taking a highway, you're going to be filled with energy through the driving. And when you're arriving in any place, you're just parking and automatically you will refill your vehicle. Then you can get mostly rid of maybe more than a half or two-thirds of the battery. Wireless charging will likely first complement rather than replace conventional charging poles. Though wireless charging will provide maybe more convenient charging for many users, no? It's unlikely to be able to meet the charging needs for all electric vehicles in the upcoming 5 years, for example. So it depends also on what future are we looking at. Although it can be used for all sorts of application, there's always some applications that will be more difficult than others. Of course, there are many obstacles to implement wireless charging solutions. Still, these obstacles include, for example, the need for appropriate infrastructure. Main obstacle can be also on the side of the different stakeholders, transporters, operators that might be participating in this. As in all these, all the stakeholders have to be aligned. I will say in an open mind way that the most important to avoid these obstacles is that when all the stakeholders understand and can get into the profit and the understanding of what is the vision of the you can have when you have a wireless charging solution, then each one of them will have to adapt. And this is the main point. When everyone has an understanding and can adopt it in a positive way and see the benefit for everyone, then it will have to contribute. And once everyone is aligned with this opportunity, it can be a very easy way forward.
And finally, because this podcast is about users, who uses electric vehicles? Today, we meet Satu. She drives an electric van in the Finnish city of Turku for inner city logistics and delivery.
I have one electric van. It's full electric mobile that has the range about 156 kilometers. It's automatic and it's quiet and I like it very much. I've always been interested in nature and green values. And I saw this advertisement about leasing an electric car. I thought that it's a good way to get into electric cars. It's easy and it's quite cheap. And I really wanted to try it. I think I'm a little bit of pioneer. Here in Turku, I think there's not many electric vans. I have to drive about 100 kilometers daily. And car range is, it's promised to be about 156 kilometers, but it's 80 kilometers an hour speed. And when I drive in a city, inner city, it spends less electricity. And I can get up to 180 kilometers range with it. And because I have this fast charger, up to 80 kilowatts per hour, so it will charge very fast. In 50 minutes, it will give me enough range. I have this Valle charger installed at my home, and it's up to 11 kilowatts. Yeah, at home, I charge with this Valle charger, but when I'm on the road in the city, and if I have to drive more, than usually, I go to the fast charging stations. In Turku, I think there's quite many fast charger opportunities. In the work days, I cannot wait for 4 hours just to charge. And my car gets up to from 10% to the full battery. It takes about 30 to 40 minutes. And the range is a challenge, but because of this quick charging opportunity, it's manageable. I'm a petrol head kind of girl, and I like to drive a lot. Driving an electric van has changed my way to drive, and it's very nice to drive it because it's automatic. It's very quiet. I work also in the nighttime, so people don't know that I'm driving there because it's so quiet. It's carbon-free, and I think it's good for the environment, mostly locally, because it's cleaner. If there's less diesel trucks or diesel cars, or it's locally cleaner, you can breathe cleaner air and everything, and it's globally cleaner. It works all together, and it's fun.
Offering cost-efficient and user-friendly charging stations is key to decarbonizing transport systems and boosting electric mobility. As our expert said, it's essential to provide a coherent charging infrastructure that fits people's needs, their lifestyles, and finds the balance between slow and fast charging. This is why planning is key, and we will address it in the next episode, where we will discuss how to plan and where to locate charging points. See you next time!